Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Add This to Your List,
episode
95.
Wow.
I know.
95. Oh.
Fancy.
I know, right? I'm Fumi Simano, joined by Mark J. Parker and Tom Chuba.
What up? Hey.
It has been a minute since the three of us have been together to do this.
That was like a fast few weeks. Time is flying during COVID. Wow.
I can't believe it's May 7th as of this recording. It's May 17th. I cannot believe that. I'm like, where did May? It was just Fumi's birthday, like the other day.
I know. And Fumi and I were just saying it's already Memorial Day weekend. Like,
I know.
It's crazy how it's already here. Whoa,
but you know what? As long as it gets us to a point where we can all be outside, like, let's keep them moving. Make an end, you know?
I know, right? Totally. But I really need these people to wear their goddamn masks.
Dude.
I don't know where you, if you guys are seeing this too, but like,
I see three people
that are like just hanging out with no mask. It's like,
I was just out this afternoon, just went to go grab something and driving back home. People running, like I get runners who don't want to wear a mask.
Yeah, I don't run when I run.
Like I totally understand that.
Yeah.
But people who are walking, I saw like an older woman with a younger man and he was super fit and he had a mask on and she was older and not as fit and she did not. And I was like, oh, you're risking it all. Okay, girl.
These people are making are just crazy. I know of somebody who had a baby back in March and he finally let his mom hold the baby on Mother's Day. No mask, no gloves, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. I think risky. People are just, they're just at a point where they're just done with all of this, you know?
They are.
And absolutely. I get it, but we really will be done if we all like actually like,
I know.
Keep that going. So that's I wear the bandana thing. Just wear it around your neck. It looks cool. It's kind of like hip and then just lift it up when you need to. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
You know? We'll see.
After our little tangent, we do have a fun show for everybody today. Yes. We're going to get into our list. We're going to get into some headlines. And then we're going to talk Hollywood, because we've all watched and we all have thoughts on the Hollywood series from Ryan Murphy on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So let's kick it off with our headlines. Mark, would you like to go first?
Sure. Thank you. So obviously COVID is everywhere and it's really affecting TV as we already know.
We've been talking about this
and like we already can imagine it's affecting TV, but now it's really... We have news, people.
Yeah.
And we are reacting to it. And so by this time, you know, like Tom was just saying, as of this recording, it's May 17th, Memorial Day weekend. By now, we know what the fall schedules are.
Totally.
The upfronts would have already happened. Yep. We would have unveiled so many things. Of course, that didn't happen. So now it's very interesting. The whole virus has super affected soap operas, which is really kind of sad because they're already struggling. Very few people watch the soaps.
Yeah.
But as of this recording, there are only, I believe, 4 soap operas still in existence. And I think 3 of them have finished airing all their episodes. Because they of course shoot in advance. But it's been like two months since they've stopped shooting, more than that. So that was a lot, because remember, they air every day, right? So they had a lot of episodes in the bank and now they're literally drying up. Only one soap, and of course I'm blanking on the name because let's be honest, they all sound alike. One shoots 8 months in advance, which I was blown away by. That is quite a lead time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy, but they're smart. So they're good for a little while.
Another year, I guess, right?
Yeah, they're good probably until, I assume, the fall or so. So they'll be okay, probably, hopefully. But the others, we'll see. I don't want to jinx us. But so the networks for daytime are now, you know, struggling to fill those holes. It's like you can do fun repeats, blast from the past, you know, old 80s episodes, which is fun. But like then after a month, then what, you know? So that's kind of, you know, a bummer that these shows that pump out the episodes, they have come to a screeching halt. And then on the primetime side, like I was saying with upfronts, it's, I find this super, super interesting, not really surprising, but it's just so interesting that it's officially a go. Networks, the main, you know, broadcast networks that we've talked about a million times, they're now acquiring little watched streaming or cable shows out there. Shows like Tell Me a Story that Fumi has talked about on the show that I still have not watched yet. That's the whole reason why I got CBS All Access. I still have not watched it. I guess I can cancel CBS All Access because the CW is officially going to air Tell Me a Story season 1 and 2. And actually that show just got
CBS All Access. I was going to say, didn't CBS All Access officially cancel it?
They officially canceled it.
But CW can now pick it up potentially if it does well on their network.
Absolutely, which is so interesting, right? So it just got the axe, but part of the deal, part of the announcement was this is canceled, but anyone who hasn't watched it can now watch it on the CW this fall. Basically, networks, especially the CW, are not really having any new shows. I think they're airing a short mini season of Supernatural that'll be its final like 7 or 8 episodes, but everything else they're acquiring from other networks. Tell Me a Story obviously is within the Viacom, you know, CBS umbrella. They're also acquiring, which I'm so happy about, I actually never got a chance to finish it, but if you guys remember a whole year ago, like to the day, I was obsessed with DC Universe's Swamp Thing.
Yeah,
a really good horror comic book show that's going to be on the CW. So what's interesting is these little watched, you know, shows might maybe have a future on these networks. You never know. It's just
interesting. I think it's smart
because these shows were like pretty rated R. I mean, right, Foom? Do you remember? Was Tell Me a Story? I assume there was some language, right?
I do believe that there was some language, but not to the extent of some of the other shows on CBS All Access. Like I also liked Why Women Kill.
Yep.
And I think that that was probably a little bit more graphic than Tell Me a Story was.
Gotcha. Okay.
In hindsight, Tell Me a Story is very much a type of CW show. So I'm not that surprised that they would have picked it up.
Totally. And it's Kevin Williamson, who's done a bunch of like the Vampire Diaries on the CW, all that. So I think it's pretty cool. I think it's a good, smart way to have a, some sort of interesting lineup. And real quick to piggyback off this, Fox, which I also thought was so interesting, Fox has acquired the Spectrum, which who's watching anything on Spectrum? But they've acquired the Spectrum show LA's Finest, which I actually was kind of intrigued by. I don't know if you guys watched. That's with Jessica Alba and
Gabrielle Union,
thank you, because it's like a spinoff from the Bad Boys movies, which Gabrielle Union was in Bad Boys 2. So that has had season 1 and 2. I believe season 2 is airing now on Spectrum. But again, who's watching Spectrum? So I thought that's pretty cool. Fox has picked that up. So at least they have something, quote unquote, new to air in the fall with big stars. I mean, I like at least this plan B seems to have some legs. So I hope it works. I'm intrigued. You know?
Yeah. Tom, what's on your list?
So this is only rumor at this point, but going off the whole topic and idea of things and studios and the industry struggling right now amid COVID, AMC theaters, as we all know, they're all closed across this country. So they have not been bringing in revenue since the beginning of March. And while they say they're hopeful that they can open by July, I don't know. When you talk about LA being closed until August, I don't know. Part of me wonders whether or not they will open their doors and whether or not studios will release movies if California continues to be shut down. But rumors are starting to swirl that Amazon is interested in acquiring the struggling AMC. Really, and I think that is a brilliant move, if you ask me.
I did see that, but then I saw that they dropped the bid potentially or the discussions.
Interesting. I did not see that.
I don't know if it was Jeff Bezos is like, I'm not doing this, or maybe they looked at numbers, I'm not sure, but I did see it happen and then kind of dissipate rather quickly, but maybe it'll pick up again. Because Jeff Bezos is apparently on his way to becoming the world's first trillionaire, so he has an abundance of money to throw out the situation. Like crazy.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
But I mean, what was interesting to me is how it would have affected Netflix, because, you know, Netflix, for them to exhibit, for them to be eligible for awards, which we know that they want to be, they have to exhibit in theaters. And I wonder if the whole
legally Amazon he wouldn't be able to do legally. I don't think he'd be able to prohibit. Right? Yeah, because obviously Amazon has Amazon Prime. They do the same thing. So I don't think.
But I'm sure there's ways that he could have made it not fun for Netflix.
Right. There's got to be some extra paperwork for Netflix.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. And also, real quick, I forgot to put it in our doc, but I know Fumi's earlier this year when we did our most anticipated movies of 2020, Fumi had selected Christopher Nolan's Tenet. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Remember?
Yep. And apparently, that's still slated for a July 17th release.
They are hoping that that could be the film to get people back in the movie theaters.
And Christopher Nolan is like adamant about doing everything, right?
I think he's out of his mind.
I think he's a little crazy. I mean,
I think that we've passed the point where, I mean, I don't know, maybe in some parts of the country it'll work and people will go for it. Other parts of the country, I don't know. But we'll see. Who knows what the world is going to look like in July? It's so hard to tell.
Oh, it really is so hard to tell. And that's a great idea, but it's also like, are you guys like not with us? I mean, you're kind of jumping the gun a little bit, Christopher Nolan, right?
A little bit on different planets.
I read that apparently Warner Brothers will decide, I guess, in the coming weeks. And I thought this was interesting. 25% of a movie's box office comes from three cities, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York.
Oh my gosh, no kidding.
That's 25% of a whole movie's opening weekend just those three cities.
There is no way that movie theaters are going to be open in either of those, in any of those three cities in July. There's just no way.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, if that's where most of your money's coming from.
Especially because surveys are showing that people are, movie theaters are the last thing that people are going to feel comfortable. When you talk about everyday life, of course, airplanes. But as far as everyday life goes, it's consistently showing in survey after survey that movie theaters are the last thing that people are comfortable returning to.
Yeah. Wow. Everyone's sitting so close and coughing and, you know, So we'll see.
You learned something new every day. I did not know that.
Right? My mind blew. Like the light bulb went off. I was like, what? Those three cities. Wow. That's a lot of money. Yeah.
It is. Wow. Well, that's it for housekeeping and headlines. We didn't have any housekeeping, but that's it for headlines.
Yeah. Our housekeeping was just us, you know, shooting the shit. All right. So then you guys know what that means. It is time for the list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people. So this is, as you know, the time when Tom, Fumi, and I tell you what we're watching and what we're loving, what we're hating. We have our scale, must add, okay to miss, and skip that shit. So let's see what we get into tonight. Fumi, why don't you go first?
Sure. So two things on my list both come from Netflix. I feel like it's only fitting after my massive absence that I returned to my Netflix.
Yeah.
The first thing I want to talk about is Becoming. It's the documentary from Mrs. Obama.
Right.
It is based off of her book, also titled Becoming, and it follows her book tour that she had of last year. It is an ad. It is so good. I watched this and I was so emotional just watching her, thinking back to the way we were, thinking back to how things were, thinking back to when you weren't like mortified by politicians and people. And just like her, how genuine she is as a person and the way that people are excited to be around her and to hear her tell her stories about her growing up and the relationship with her brother and her mom and how she met Barack and going through, you know, being a lawyer and going through college. And it's just such a fantastically done doc. I will be honest, there's nothing like mind-blowing or different about it. I wouldn't say that there's anything about this documentary that is brand new that you haven't seen somewhere else. However, it is just such a good thing to watch her and to also see like Reese Witherspoon is in it, Oprah Winfrey is in it, Stephen Colbert, because obviously they were all moderators for her stops in her book tour. And then also to watch former President Obama come in and how he interacts with her and how he jokes about a lot of the stories she tells. He remembers it differently. And just the dynamics between that relationship and how they're still so in love and have such beautiful respect for one another. And to see her daughters I haven't. Yes, I don't know about you guys, but like, I don't think I'd ever heard Malia or Sasha speak.
Yeah, I don't think I have. So they speak in it.
They speak in it. And it's so fascinating to see how grown they've become. Like, they are stunning young women. And to see how they interact with their parents and their mom. And to hear, especially Malia, like, voice her thoughts about the doc and about the book tour. It's really, really interesting. I loved being able, like, to essentially be, like, a fly on the wall of their life, of their life and of Mrs. Obama's life. So... watch Becoming. It is so good. Nice. Ugh, it just, it yes, takes me back to just... on it.
And it's only an hour and a half, right?
It's only an hour and a half. It doesn't even, like, it goes so fast. It doesn't even feel like you're sitting there really watching a long movie. And it's just nice to be able to go back to that time when we all weren't, like, such high anxiety, like, all the time. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of us weren't. The other side might say differently.
I mean, I think that even the other side felt like they could at least, like, get a break every day. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like it is constant, nonstop. Oh, yeah. Like, it's just exhausting at this point. And so the next thing on my list is also a documentary on Netflix, but it's a documentary series called Trial by Media.
I've heard a few people talk about this.
It just dropped earlier this week. It is executive produced by George Clooney and Jeffrey Toobin, who, I don't know if you guys know Jeffrey Toobin, is a CNN correspondent for the White House. It essentially is about famous trials or cases that have happened throughout, like, our American history, like, going back to the 80s, that have kind of been, like, this booming force of people wanting to, like, watch a trial play out. Like, we all are from the generation of, like, the first thing we remember was O.J. Simpson. Right. Like, that was the first trial that we all remember, like, our parents watching all the time and we checking at all the time. Like, it was what all anybody talked about for that whole year. Mm-hmm. But this goes back even further to pinpoint other trials. And so one particular episode that stands out to me, it is an ad if I hadn't said that already. Mm-hmm. One particular episode that stood out to me was Talk Show Murder. Do you guys remember how fun it used to be to, like, have a sick day home from work or from school and to just watch talk shows all day? And
oh, yeah,
like,
Jerry Springer.
I'm going to start my day with Jerry Springer. Then I'm going to watch Ricky.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Sally Jesse Raphael.
Oh, yes.
Like, they were, like, what you looked forward to watching when you're home from school. And then I don't know if you guys remember that incident with Jenny Jones where she had a guest surprise another guest by saying that he had a crush on his friend, that they were, but he was gay and his friend was not. And so it became a situation where when they got home, the one guy killed the friend.
Oh,
do you guys
shit.
Remember that?
I did not know that. No.
Yeah, so that happened in the 90s, and I think that basically reset a way a lot of talk shows did their shows. Mm-hmm. And so that is the focus of the first episode, which is really interesting to kind of watch those old clips that we all remember seeing when we were younger, and watching that trial play out. So Trial by Media, it is a 6-episode docuseries. It follows a different, like, trial.
Different case,
Different case, each episode, and they're all really, really interesting. And I feel like some semblance, if you're at least, like, 35 and younger, or 35 and older, you remember, a little bit of each case. Like, maybe if you didn't know the specifics, you would at least remember hearing about something to that effect.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And so they all deal with a crime that is related to the media. Like, it was, it started
it just got blown up by the media. Yeah. Like, the first episode, as I mentioned, is the talk show, and then Rob Blagojevich, do you guys remember him?
Oh,
he's one episode.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys remember the Accused, that movie with Jodie
Foster?
Oh,
with Jodie,
That real story that was the basis of that film is also another episode. So it's interesting to kind of see how
this
they all
sounds good.
Play out. Yeah, I definitely recommend. They're only an hour each. It's a really good series.
That sounds good. And Jeffrey Toobin from CNN, he also wrote the book that American Crime Story, the OJ season was based on. So he knows this stuff. Yeah.
He knows this stuff and he it's good. They're really interesting.
Love that. Okay, that sounds good. All right, Tom, what do you have for us?
Foom, did you not have a third one?
Oh.
I actually took it off. I was going to talk about a Netflix Lifetime type series, but...
Oh, yes, you were. Do you want to... I'm curious because I love Camilla from Riverdale, who I met years ago when she auditioned for What Would You Do? And I'm kicking myself that we didn't, you know, hire her. But was that any good? What was it? Dangerous?
It was Dangerous Lies. It was funny. Like, I was like, oh, okay, Netflix is dipping their toe in Lifetime's arena. Okay, let's check it out and see what it is. It was very much a Lifetime type movie, and it was funny. It was enjoyable. So if you do want to watch it, it is also an ad. So check it out.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Okay. Okay. All right. So what do I got? I've got two things. First thing on my list is also a Netflix show. Look at that. There's the theme. It's Freud. So I have been wanting to check this out for a while because I heard about it months ago. It's a German show, so it is completely subtitled. And it's, I'm going to call it historical fiction because it's part based on fact and the life of Sigmund Freud when he was younger, living in Austria. And part of it is fictional because it takes a lot of liberties and tries to make it more supernatural than you know, Freud's life really was and is, and all his work really was and is. Yeah, so guys, unfortunately, I'm going to say that this is an okay to miss. And it's not because of the subtitles. It's just, it's a really bizarre show. And it just, it's really out there. It's Sigmund Freud is the main character. And the actor who plays him, by the way, is super fucking hot. So if you just wanted to look, check out a hot guy, just turn on the first episode and listen to him speak German because he is super hot. But he's the central figure of this series, yet you learn so little bit about what makes him tick. That's what aggravated me. I just, it focused so much on, you know, like witches and werewolves and things. And Sigmund Freud wasn't really like that. It's very much like Van Helsing. Remember Van Helsing? Yes. Okay.
Wow. Okay. This is taking a turn I was not expecting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
It's sort of like psychology meets Van Helsing.
Did you think it was going to be more Masters of Sex type of content?
Exactly. Yeah. I thought it was going to be more Masters of Sex. They clearly were out to just make a horror story and use Sigmund Freud's life and work as kind of the crux of that. But yeah, it doesn't tell you enough about what makes him tick. And I'm going to say it's an okay to miss. It's 8 episodes. I did only get through 3.
Okay.
Okay.
And the first one was really good. The first one kind of had me hooked, and then 2 and 3 went off the rails. And also, one other thing, it relies very heavily, and this is no fault of the show, it's obviously a German show, but it relies heavily on you knowing Austrian history, and I clearly did not know what was going on at that time period in Austria, and there's some tensions between Germany and Austria and Prague, and I just didn't want to research and find out about that stuff. I wanted to sit down and have some mindless entertainment, and you know, obviously I'm not European, so I don't really my European history, so I thought that was also a con of the show for me.
Totally. But
had you guys heard of it before me mentioning it, or no?
No.
Was it on AMC or BBC or something beforehand?
You know what, Fumi, you might be thinking of the show I thought it was. I was thinking this was the new season of that Genius show, which is on National Geographic, maybe, which I feel like Thomas talked about. I thought Freud was like the new season of that, but no.
Season actually is on hold. Cynthia Erivo is playing Aretha Franklin for the new season, and it's on hold. It was supposed to start this weekend, actually.
Got it.
Oh, they're probably saving it to fill a hole.
They never got to finish filming.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's Freud. Okay to miss. Second thing on my list, it's HBO's new limited series. They are big on the limited series lately. You know, I was a really big fan of The Plot Against America. Well, just last weekend, they released their new one with Mark Ruffalo called I Know This Much Is True. Mm-hmm. And Ruffalo plays two twin brothers in the early 90s, one of whom suffers from severe schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And it's just the struggle of what it's like to have a brother who's always going off the rails at a time when, you know, schizophrenia was known, but there weren't the advances in medicine and psychology that there are today. So a lot of times they ended up in psychiatric wards instead of being put on really good and strong medicines to help them with it. So Mark Ruffalo is really good. The acting is very strong. Melissa Leo plays his mom. Juliet Lewis plays
Crazy.
I love her.
She plays it so well.
She plays so well because I was like, girl, you are crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, it's about two twin brothers. One of them is just trying to help his brother through getting through schizophrenia. And, guys, unfortunately, I'm going to say that this is also an okay to me.
I was wondering what you were going to think, Tom, because I have to say I watched it and I am like, what is the point of this? Like,
so
I'm
super intrigued.
Understand.
This is shocking. Wow. I haven't seen it yet. I didn't even know. I thought it was a movie. It's not a movie. It's a series.
No, it's a limited series. It's going to be 6 episodes. Like Fumi, I was intrigued and it was definitely interesting and it's definitely dark and gritty, but that's its downfall. Like, there is no sense of hope on that show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, damn.
And I think we're in a mindset where we want to have a little something to look forward to or something that's a little uplifting. And I watched and I, going into a blind, I really had no idea what this show was about at all. Did you, Tom?
I did from seeing the trailer.
Okay.
I was watching The Plot Against America and my brilliant friend every week and they would play the trailer beforehand.
So going into a blind, I was really intrigued. I love Mark as well. So I was like, okay, this could be cool. Yeah. And acting is spectacular all around. I have to agree. Acting is fantastic. But yeah, it's just a little sad.
It's even filmed in that, you know, early 90s. It looks like it's from the early 90s. Yeah. Much like, what was the Melissa McCarthy movie? I always forget the name. Can You Ever Forgive Me? You know how Can You Ever Forgive Me was shot in a way that it looked like it was the early 90s?
Yeah.
This does as well, so it kind of adds to the bleakness. Yeah, I'm gonna say it's an okay to miss. I mean, if you want to check it out just to see Mark and
different
characters, go for it.
Yeah, but. Wow, I am curious because I just thought this was going to be like a no-brainer, like, oh, that's amazing. But wow, I have seen on my feed just a few people have seen it and they're like, this is dark and depressing and I can't finish.
Oh,
it.
Yeah,
so wow, and Rosie
not
O'Donnell's
a good
place
in it for a mind frame.
We haven't gotten there yet. I saw she popped up in the trailer and I was like, oh, Rosie.
Did you hear Tom?
What did he say?
He said, we haven't gotten to her yet and we won't.
And there's our title. Wow. Okay. Jeez, guys. Well, that's good to know.
So, unfortunately, I don't think I've ever had two okay to misses in a row on an episode, but there's a first time for everything.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah. Tom has given two thumbs down this episode. Okay. All right, very nice, guys. Okay, so I will wrap up our list. I have two items as well, two TV shows that are not on Netflix, so sorry.
Because that's all you can watch right now.
Yeah, exactly. So the first show I was kind of excited about. It sort of surprised me and confused me that they were doing it, but I was into it. So, and that show is on Showtime called Penny Dreadful, City of Angels. Did you guys watch the original Penny Dreadful?
No.
One episode, but I was not into it.
Really, Foom? Season one and two, that show only lived for 3 seasons on Showtime a few years ago. One and two were great. Season two, if you ever have time, which you never do now, but if you ever want to go back and watch it, season two was fantastic. Scary, sexy, shocking, so good. Season three sort of tapered off. But it was a really good show. The whole thing about Penny Dreadful, the first series, was that it merged in a really cool way, in a really beautiful way, different famous, you know, horror stories. So you had Dracula, you had Frankenstein, Dorian Gray, you had possession and exorcisms and all this cool stuff. It was beautifully told, stellar actors, Eva Green, Josh Hartnett, a lot of people were really good. So now, a couple years later, Showtime has done Penny Dreadful, City of Angels. However, the actual show, like the title, it says City of Angels, Penny Dreadful. So I don't know what you call it. But so as of this recording, there have been about 3 or 4 episodes. I've watched 1.5 because that's all I could take.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think the spinoff is an okay to miss.
We got a lot of okay to misses this week.
I know. Well, yeah. I gotta be honest, guys. And like, I just watched Blumhouse's Fantasy Island, and I watched
you post about that,
and I watched the underwater movie with Kristen Stewart, which was okay. It was okay. I fell fast asleep. It was fine. It's very pretty. Both of those movies, very, very pretty. But like, what did I watch? What? And like, there's a lot of shit out there, guys. There's a lot of crap right now, and I don't want to say Penny Dreadful, City of Angels is crap, but it is not like its predecessor. And it just looks kind of cheap. And I feel like Showtime knew that they ended it maybe a little too early, so they wanted to bring it back in a different way, and it's just not exciting. Let me tell you a brief little story about it. So it is not set in London in the 1800s. We are now about 50 years in the future in the golden age of Hollywood, which we'll talk about later, in the 1930s in Los Angeles. And, you know, there's some good stuff here. I think if it was a different show, it'd be really interesting. There's a lot of Mexican-American tension at that time. A lot of white cops. And so we follow this this young man who is of Mexican heritage, who is now an LA cop. And there's a lot of tension there. There's a lot of race riots, a lot of issues, and there's murder. And so it opens with this grisly murder of a white, you know, upper crust family in Los Angeles, and people immediately think it's the Mexicans, right? It's the help. It's our gardeners. It's our cleaning ladies. They did this. And so that right there alone, that's an interesting show. But then they mix in Spanish, Mexican, like folklore. They then bring in some Nazi elements. There's like too many elements going on that are not as cohesive as those kind of classic horror stories were in the first show. You know what I mean? So it just is a little boring. It's a little sleepy. And where the first series of Penny Dreadful was very blue and gray and very just cold and creepy, this one is very dusty and orange and yellow for the whole like California vibe, but it ends up looking just sort of cheap. It looks like it should be on CBS. It does not look like it does not look like I'm paying for this, but I'm not paying for Showtime. But it just doesn't look like this is like premium quality cable. You know what I mean? So, and yeah. Natalie Dormer is in it, who they're trying very hard to be the Eva Green of the show. And she plays different roles, but it just sort of feels like a gimmick. Like, I don't really feel much. So yeah, I think it's an okay to miss. Sorry, everyone. But then my next item is a show I actually really like. It's a little corny. I wasn't sure how I'd feel about it, but I actually say add it to your list. And that is Amazon Prime's Upload.
So I've heard Lori loves this.
Love that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's a half an hour comedy. I think the first episode, the pilot, is a little longer just to set things up. Did you watch it, Foom?
I did. I watched the whole thing.
Oh, you watched the whole thing.
It's such an easy watch.
It's like, so easy, right?
Yeah.
It's so, I don't want to say it's light, but it's pretty light. It's pretty charming. For me, I like watching it like, you know, on a lunch break or like just like middle of the day. Like, let me just like take a break. Yeah. I'm glad. So you liked it, Foom.
I loved it. I thought it was so cute.
Yeah.
Everything that I know, what is it, Tom? I know this much is true, or what's it called?
Yeah, I know this much is true.
Everything that is, this is not. Like, that show is dark, depressing, so sad. Upload is light, like fun, cute.
Yep.
Like, it's total opposite.
Totally. You are so right. It's very charming. It's sweet. It's like I said, it's a little corny, and I was a little nervous by the trailer because, I like the futuristic stuff. I like the black. It's almost like if Black Mirror was like a romantic comedy, you know? And I feel like right now I need that. I feel like a lot of people need mm-hmm. that. So it actually comes at a perfect time. Mm-hmm. And it's already been, they just premiered it on Prime like at the beginning of this month, and already season two is a go whenever, of course, things will, you know, get back to normal. But it's super likable. It's created by Greg Daniels, who also co-created The Office, the American version, and Parks and Rec. So he's got great comedies, you know, in his tool belt. I do wish, I haven't gotten as far as Fumi did. I saw the first two, maybe two and a half episodes. I do wish it had a little bit more of that, like, good awkward comedy that those other shows that he worked on had, but this is not like a faux, that's not a mockumentary, it's not a faux documentary at all. It's a, you know, your straightforward kind of typical series. Although, Foom, do you agree? It feels kind of like almost like a foreign production company did it, like, right? It feels like something. Sometimes when I watch it, I'm like, this does not feel like an American show at all. But maybe that's just me.
I think maybe because it's not that far into the future, but maybe because it's supposed to be into the future.
Yeah.
It's like little elements are a little like
that. It's like, oh, this feels so.
You sure it's not Canadian?
It might be Canadian.
Oh, it could
actually.
Be. Yeah, it could be Canadian.
It gives that vibe. You might be onto something there, Tom. It might be, or they might have shot. Well, I think they shot it in New York. Anyway, but yeah, there might be something there that feels a little distant. But so the premise, real quick, is it's set in 2033. So yeah, it's really not that far away, but enough, technology has arrived by then. And so the whole premise is humans are able to upload themselves in the afterlife of their choosing. And so there are different kinds of virtual afterlives. Some are more fancy and expensive than others. And, right? Which is so interesting. And that's what I really like about it is even if you find it a little corny or, you know, a little too lighthearted, it's so clever. I love, you know, now it's like in this future, everything is based on your rating. You know,
yep.
the main characters are Nathan, played by Robbie Amell. Mm-hmm. Who's the brother of the Arrow, the other Amell brother.
He's from the CW, right? He was on a CW show.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. He's super likable. He's so cute and they make a big deal about how attractive he is. So that's part of his character. He could easily be Tom Cruise's son. They look identical to me.
Yeah, they do look alike.
It's crazy. But so we follow Nathan and we follow Nora, played by Andy Alla, who's also so freaking cute. I'm not really that familiar with her. Yeah, but she's great. And so Nora is Nathan's angel. She is a real person, you know, living in Brooklyn or Queens or something. And she she kind of represents like 50 or so different people that have died and live now in these, you know, virtual cloud afterlives. And so Nathan calls on her for help a lot because he has died. I won't tell you guys how. In episode 2, there kind of opens up a little bit of a mystery, which I'm really liking. But so he dies in a futuristic way. And it's uploaded to this.
You shocked by the way they upload you? Because I was.
Oh my God! Yes, in the first episode, I was like, "Wait, I actually had to rewatch it because I was like, "Wait, did I like fall asleep? What the hell?"
Yes, taken aback.
Oh, taken aback, and that in those last few, I think that was like in the. Oh no, that actually wasn't at the end of the first episode, but it was like right in the middle, and I'm like, "Wait, did this show?" It almost made me feel like The Boys on Prime were like. Sometimes that show gets so violent that you're like, wait a minute, what the fuck? But it's super wacky, but it's all very likable. And so we just follow Nathan navigating his new life in, what's the name of the fancy? Lakeview. Lakeview mm-hmm. is the ritzy, titsy, you know, place you want to be. And so many people are uploaded there that you can only actually see, you know, a certain amount of people because everyone's just like, you know, in this towering apartment of you know, dead people basically, but you can only see certain people to kind of keep that nice, tranquil vibe going. And so, you know, things glitch every now and then. But I really like it. I think it's very clever. Everything is totally based on ratings. So Nora in her job, you know, she needs to keep a certain rating. Even in the future when you're like hooking up, you rate people.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So I think it's very clever. It's like a sci-fi comedy. I'm going to totally keep up with it. I like it. And now that I know Fumi watched the whole thing and liked it, I think it's definitely worth an ad. Ad uploaded to your list.
Yeah, totally. Upload.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's super fun. All right, guys. So to recap, we had on our list this week, we had Becoming, mm-hmm. all about Miss Michelle Obama, the one and only, on Netflix. And also on Netflix, Trial by Media. Fumi gave those an add this to your list. Then we had Tom with 2 Okay to Misses, wah, wah, Freud on Netflix. And I know this much is true on HBO. I am still surprised about that. And then I had Penny Dreadful, City of Angels, also Okay to Miss. That one's on Showtime. And we have, is it Upload or Uploaded? Upload.
I think it's Uploaded, isn't it?
I thought it was Uploaded, but I guess it's Upload.
It's Upload.
Okay.
You would think I would know this, but whoops. I just watch TV, people. Upload on Amazon Prime. That is an ad this to your list by a few of us. So in all, out of 6 things, 3 ads, 3 Okay to Misses, you know.
All right, 50-50.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, totally.
Well, now we're going to get to the good stuff, guys, because we are going to do a deep dive on Ryan Murphy's latest outing. It's his Netflix series, 7-part on Netflix, as I just said, just premiered earlier this month, and that is Hollywood.
Yep,
so Hollywood follows a fictional character named Jack Costello, who moves from somewhere in the Midwest to Hollywood with the dreams of making it big and being an actor. And in his quest, he gets hooked up with other aspiring writers and producers and directors and actors, some of them fictional, some of them real. One of the characters is Rock Hudson, that he comes into contact with, and right. they become good friends. And basically it just, it goes through Jack's journey to make it big. But what makes it very interesting is that it is it's revisionist history. Ryan Murphy basically presents a Hollywood back in the 1940s, because this takes place in 1948, mm-hmm. he presents a Hollywood that he wishes existed back then.
Yes.
One that wasn't sexist, one that wasn't racist, one that wasn't homophobic.
It's and so an about, aspirational revisionist
yes, aspirational.
Story.
Yep,
he's
aspirational
like doing what,
revisionist
like
history.
Quentin Tarantino likes to do with his movies.
Much like Quentin,
changing
yes.
history, yeah.
Yes. So Hollywood is very interesting because the critics are kind of not warming up to it because mm-hmm. of this very issue. But audiences seem to love it.
Totally.
Guys, yes. what do you think? I'm going to say this is an add this to your list, but I am going to say that I wish he picked a fictional character other than Rock Hudson, because Rock Hudson's story is so painful. Mm. that it is so important because it's so painful. And to kind of erase that, I think kind of does a disservice to LGBT history. However, that being said, I think it's a wonderful show. I think it's uplifting, it's fun. It stars Darren Criss, Patti LuPone, Samara Weaving from Ready or Not, that great horror movie last summer. Who am I missing, guys? Just shout them all out.
Oh, gosh.
I
need
it as a star from Jim Parsons.
Oh yeah, what? Laura Harris? No.
Or Laurel something. I don't know her last name. She's. I think she's a newer actress. The woman who got cast as Meg.
Yes.
And then Dylan McDermott's pretty great
yeah.
on
Dylan
it.
McDermott, yep.
And I'm blanking on the main Queen guy's Latifah. Name, but he's great.
Yeah. Yep.
Maude Apatow, who was also just in, not Maude, the other Apatow. I don't know. I forget. The Apatow girl is in it.
Yes.
As
his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what did you guys think? I would say it's an add this to your list. It's fun, but just be prepared that, you know, it's different. It's just very, very different, and it takes a lot of liberties.
Mm. I'll say that going into it, I was expecting not to like it because, like you said, the critics had a lot of negative things to say. So I was very pleasantly surprised by the first episode because I enjoyed it. Yep. I thought mm-hmm. it was good. I liked it overall. I thought it was a really good show. I love the acting. Everybody is so freaking beautiful on the show.
I know. Everyone, yeah.
It's so insane how stunning everyone is. I liked the aspirational aspect of it. I liked the fact that, do we say that, like, prostitution is very heavily weaved throughout the entire
Yeah, right?
Series?
Yeah,
I mean,
oh my
that
gosh.
Makes it fun and different. And
Dreamland.
Like,
take cool. me to Dreamland.
Right? Yeah, I loved that. I will agree that I do think because it is mixed with some real life people like a Rock Hudson versus such a different fictional story that I probably would have preferred for it to just been one or the other.
Exactly.
Just fictional because I do know a little bit about Rock Hudson's life, but I'm not as familiar with his background. And so I'm not sure what aspects are real versus what are not. And then also, Jim Parsons, who plays his agent, Ooh. Harry or Henry.
Henry Walker.
Henry, who is such like a vile human being, the character. So I wonder, is that who he really was in real life? Like, is that the type of person he really was? So I do wish that there was kind of like one road and they just stuck with that. But overall, I thought it was a great show. I loved the way it ended. I don't think I need to see a season two of it. I think that it was it's like a one and done for me. Like, I feel like it stands alone and it stands well on its own. Mm. But yeah, I thought it was nice. It was nice to see again. I guess this is just where my mindset is, but it was nice to see and watch a more uplifting type of show versus something that's like downtrodden yeah. and sad and a little bit more realistic.
Yeah.
Before we turn to Mark, I will say one other issue I had is that I don't like how Ryan Murphy tried to redeem Parsons' character. I feel like you should have just let him be the scumbag that he is
yes.
because that scumbag nature and aspect still exists very much today in Hollywood, i.e. a Harvey Weinstein. So the fact that he tried to redeem him, I don't necessarily agree with that.
And decision. I agree with you, Tom. I don't even think his character was redeemable. It was just
yeah.
so, ugh.
Yeah. Mark, wow. what did you think?
Well, I've only watched the first episode, so I'm further behind than you guys, but I like it. It's a lot lighter than I thought it was going to be, but I agree with you, Foom. I'm okay with that. I was smiling throughout it. You know, I guess I was expecting, because the trailer was good. That trailer they put together, it was like, oh shit. Because for me, it kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't really know much about this show. I feel like it was not really talked about. But yeah, so I figured it was going to be beautiful and glitzy and all that, but I did think there was going to be a little more. So I kind of like that it's a little light and fun to watch. David Corenswet, that's his name. And the girl's name is Laura Harrier, I think.
Yes, Boom. Harrier.
Yes, yeah. I love them both. And David Corenswet is a great leading man, and he's very likable. And I like this journey that he's going on. It makes me laugh, and it's interesting. So I'm going to keep up with it. But yeah, I guess my biggest thing was I was just surprised that it was, like, you know, kind of just light and frothy and, you know, because you know how Ryan Murphy can sometimes try to get...
It will get darker, deep. Mark.
Okay. Okay.
Before it gets better. It gets dark before it gets better. Right,
yeah.
Boom?
Yeah, and I do think there are aspects where he does weave in, like, it's not completely an unrealistic situation where they're just going to make this movie and do all these things and it's not going to piss anybody off. Like, they do intercut some real life stuff into it that makes it darker. But I think Ryan Murphy, was important for him to stick on a uplifting aspect of it.
Yeah, totally. But yeah,
so I have a question for you guys. Do you think Patti LuPone's part was really written for Jessica Lange first and she turned it down?
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, that's a good question. Is that a rumor out there?
No, it's just something that popped into my head literally right now.
I don't think so. No,
I don't
Patty's
think so.
Been in the Murphyverse for a little bit now with Pose and a couple episodes, I think, in Horror Story a while ago.
Yep. So, in the New Orleans season. She like shoved bleach down somebody's throat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But to your point, I could see both of those women in that role.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Totally. But but you know what? Jessica now, I feel like, is so strong. She's such a strong lady that I liked seeing Patty, who normally is very strong, right? In that first episode when she's really getting him to, like, you know, open up to her and everything. I liked seeing a softer, kind of desperate, sad side to her. I really like her character, you know?
Yeah.
Is she in it throughout the whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And her role becomes more prominent.
Oh, wow. Good for her. Prominent. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I'm super...
What do you guys think of the production design?
Oh.
Beautiful.
Stunning.
Beautiful.
It makes me think of Feud, obviously, which Ryan did, you know? Yeah, which was beautiful to look at. So, yeah, this is almost kind of like a sister show to Feud or something in a way, you know?
Yeah, no, that's very fair. In fact, a lot of people asked him, how come you didn't have Joan Crawford's character or Betty Davis's character played by Lang and Sarandon? And he said, you know what? I thought about it. But I said to myself, no, let me keep these worlds separate.
Okay. Yeah. That could be a fun little cameo, but yeah.
Because Freud was so much I'm sorry, Freud. a Freudian slip. Feud was based much more on fact than Hollywood is.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there are other famous people who appear in Hollywood, like Vivian Leigh and...
Yep.
What was that?
Yeah, who played her? She's great. She had
I don't know. Yeah. And that other woman who was at the table during dinner. Tom, do you know that actress's, who was she supposed to be that role?
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but it's escaping me right now.
I'm looking at the cast list.
I wanted to say Mae West, but it's not Mae West, but I don't know.
No, Hattie McDaniel?
Queen Latifah plays Hattie McDaniel. Wow. That's actually very moving, that bit part for her.
Oh, fun. Okay. Yeah. I also, it's 7 episodes. So, I mean, like, I totally understand why a lot of people on my feed are like, oh my God, I binged it. I loved it. It's I definitely am excited to continue. It's fun. It's very fun to look at, which.
Yeah. And it's sexy and like, just, it's a good show. I like it.
So given that critics didn't love it, do you see awards in this in the future for Hollywood, or are you unsure?
I think it'll
get it for like a cinematography and set design and costume. But in terms of probably the acting and stuff, probably not.
Okay.
I know.
Or like an ensemble thing?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. But, you know, there's been some good, like, you've talked about there's a lot of trash out there from the film side, but it's been another good year for TV, even amid COVID. Like, Mrs. Absolutely. America, like Foomy said, I've been keeping up with it every week. That is going to kill. It's, you know, Hollywood is going to go up against Little Fires Everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
So. Which, I don't know.
By the way, did you guys hear? It's so sad. She just was like one of the executive producers on it. Lynn Shelton.
I know. Who's she just passed away.
That's crazy and so sad. And she was such a great indie filmmaker who then just in these last few years really got into these big, you know, TV shows. And I didn't know she was with Marc Maron and she worked on Glow. Like, that's such a bummer. Sorry.
Yeah.
A little tangent. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Tom, though. Yeah, great TV so far this year for sure. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, from the little bit I've seen of Hollywood, I would say it might have some awards legs at least. But yeah, maybe it's more the, you know, technical stuff. I can't tell if any acting, like, does anyone have a big moment on the show, like a big award worthy moment, or not so much?
I don't
Parsons
think so.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay, maybe Parsons. Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe Patti LuPone. Maybe. But maybe. I agree with Fumi. Generally, I would say no.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, kudos to Murphy. It was well done. I feel like it was announced only not too long ago. I think he threw this together pretty quickly. So good job. Kudos all around.
Yeah, it's better than some of his other stuff, which, like American Horror Story. Now he's going to do, what did he say? There's now going to be a show called American Horror Stories.
Stories, and each episode is going to be its own anthology, not each season.
So it's like Tales from the Crypt. It's like, you know, yeah, Creepshow. Okay.
Is that going to be on Netflix or FX?
I guess.
Or FX on Hulu.
Or yeah, I don't, you're right. I don't even know. But also, is that going to be something he tries to do, like, virtually? Do you guys know?
I don't know.
That's weird, yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, good job, Ryan. We liked it. Mark, keep up with it.
Totally.
Oh, totally, yeah. I was nervous about it, and Greg did not want to watch it because it's so pretty and because you see the shirtless men, and we know Ryan loves the boys, that it's just like, I don't know, it did, even though the trailer looked good, we were nervous that it's like, this is going to be like just a golden turd, but it's actually not. It might not be the best thing this year, but you know, it's got something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And that's our show, guys. So I'm going to introduce you to a little man named Earl, E-R-L. That is the acronym we're going to use now.
Oh.
We want you to do three things: engage, review, and listen. You can engage with us on our social media platforms. You can review us on iTunes, and you can listen to past episodes on addthistoyourlist.com.
Look at
Thank
that.
You. Right,
I
Earl?
Love when you we do things create... like that and don't tell me and Mark because we get so confused. We're like, wait, isn't the show over? Who's Earl?
I was like, Earl, is this like your replacement or something? What?
We need to create, you know how Facebook's going crazy this weekend with the new avatars? We need to create an avatar for Earl.
Oh my god, you're so right, Tom. I love that. Funny. Okay.
So and then of course we want to, as always, thank Jay, Greg, and Allie for all the work they do, and Sabrina, thank you. Mm-hmm. And we will be back in a couple weeks with another episode, so tune in to see what we've been watching.
Yeah. Awesome. Ciao.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Bye.